in letters of crimson, God wrote his love on a hillside so long, long ago. For you and for me, Jesus died, and love's greatest story was told.
I love you. I love you. That's what Calvary said. I love you. I love you. I love you, written in red. Down through the ages, God wrote his love. With the same hands that suffered and bled, giving all he had to give, a message so easily read. I love you. I love you. That's what Calvary said. I love you. I love you. I love you. Written in red. Precious is the flow,
precious flow that makes me white as snow. There's no other found, I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I love you, I love you, that's what Calvary said. I love you, I love you, I love you.
Clean up just a second, and God bless you. Thank you, ensemble, and what a great message behind a great song. When you look at the cross, if you can't see that God loves you, you're not looking close enough. You need to look a little closer. And it's been a great week. I have thoroughly enjoyed our missionaries. I've enjoyed the spirit of our missionaries. I was telling Brother Leslie at lunch today, you know, sometimes you, if you're not missionaries, can get on the deputation trail and they can get going or go on the field. And sometimes if we're not careful, we'll come back and report all the doom and gloom that happens on the mission field. None of these missionaries have done that. They're excited about what God wants to do, what he can do. They realize what they're facing when they go to the field. And yet, they're going by faith, just trusting God and living by faith. And I'm excited and about what God's going to do through these missionary families. And it's been my joy to spend time this week with our missionary to Croatia, Brother Johnny Leslie, and his family. When I was praying months and months ago about who to ask to speak our missions conference, God laid Brother Leslie on my heart. I contacted him while he was still in Croatia and asked if he would consider preaching this conference, and he was delighted to do so in his home church. And I can't wait for the last message tonight from Brother Leslie, our missionary, to the country of Croatia. And he has been a thorough blessing this week, as well as all of our missionary guests have been. And I hope that you'll not leave tonight without stopping by and saying hello to all of our missionaries. Get a prayer card and pray for them. Some will be leaving after the service tonight, and some will not be leaving till tomorrow. And they'll be traveling to various parts of the country. Some this time next week will be in states far from here. And so you pray for them on their travel. Brother Leslie, it has been a joy. Thank you for preaching to us and preaching what God's laid on your heart.
Amen.
Come share with us what God's got on your heart tonight. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, preacher. Love you too. Amen. You can take your Bibles and turn to Revelation 21. We'll get there in a moment, so don't stand yet. We'll do that in just a moment. But Revelation 21 is where we're going to be looking tonight. I am just overfilled with lots of stuff, food. Boy, I'm about to bust. I hope I can finish this message tonight. But more than that, I'm overfilled with joy. And the presence of God is certainly at Trinity Baptist Church. There's no doubt about that. I was talking to Brother Laster at lunch, and I told him tonight I was going to tell him that what he said this morning, that Trinity Baptist Church is a missions-minded church, is wrong. It's not a missions-minded church. It's a missions-hearted church. It's a little bit different. Your very heart is missions. Tori and I the other night were thinking about all the time, how the 12 years we've been missionaries and all the different churches we've been to and traveled to, and we were thinking, has there ever been a church done more for missionaries in their conference than Trinity Baptist Church? I mean, just being honest about it, just thinking, and we couldn't think of one church that's ever done as much for missionaries in the conference. Little things, just from the very beginning when you get in the room, the basket, all the goodies, the little change in the jar, and to just everything. The new suit I'm wearing, red tie. They said, well, I could have joined the ensemble, but, you know. I told them I've got the dress, but I don't have the voice. You know? And then I was sitting behind them. Amen. Amen. I was sitting behind them tonight. You know, I've never got to sit up here, you know, in this, you know, to preach and everything. And you get to learn a lot of things from this side of it, you know. And, you know, and I was thinking I was going to take the bull by the horns tonight. We're getting into this message. You know, I've been thinking about that all night. I just had to say that. And so, you know, every time you were singing, I kept wanting to laugh. I kept looking up and saw a mummy sitting up here in the balcony. And I started cracking up. So I thought, this is a bad time to start laughing. And then I saw the bull with the horns. And boy, I hope I can preach tonight. If I'm going to look this way, I got King James over here somewhere, isn't it? Yeah, so, okay. But he got his crown off, so I feel a little better about it. And but it's been a joy being here. But anyway, I was sitting behind the men. And I've got another problem other than just the voice. And Brother Ingram, you're right. The voice is a problem. But I got to look. They put these, you know, they got the little stands in front of them, and they put the paper there, and I thought the words were there. And I couldn't see any words on that paper. All I see was a bunch of musical notes. I thought, where's the words? And so I guess you don't need words. I don't know. If they were there, I didn't see them. They were in another language. So I definitely couldn't join the ensemble. But I do got a nice tie that Trinity Baptist Church bought for us, and the suit, and thank God for you, church, and you've my heart is just overjoyed. The easiest people I've ever preached to is right here. You know, I went home Friday night thinking, boy, I was too hard. I you know, and then so many people come up and said, that's what I needed. Thank you. And, well, I went home feeling rotten. I told my wife, I think I preached too hard Friday night. And so I said, you know, where's those whitening strips? I got to get my Joel Osteen message Sunday night. We couldn't find those, so I'm sorry you're out of luck with that, but I'll do my best. But I tell you, we love you, and thank God. We are so proud to be members of this church. We really are. When we go out, and we feel, and it's true, we're representing you as we go out. You have sent us to the mission field as your missionaries, and my family, we do not want to do anything to bring a bad name to this church. We want to represent you with honor and dignity in loyalty as this church deserves. So we want to thank you. And I know so many of you have sacrificed this week, the ladies that have prepared food and financially sacrificing, and you bus workers, God bless you. Boy, I come up here today to study a little bit. You know, it's hard to study at a hotel. And so we come up here and found a Sunday school room and studied a little bit. And I come in, and bus workers were here all day long. There were bus workers. And well, I thought, boy, God bless you, staying here all day long on a Sunday so little kids can come and hear about Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. Thank God for that. And then your costumes, boy, y'all went all out. I told my wife, I said, you've got to get up early and come with me because you're going to want to see it. Because I've seen it before, and they do an outstanding job. And Brother Laster said he's going to give a prize to whoever wins, I think go to a restaurant or something. I said, you ought to just take them all the buses, just take them all to the restaurant, because how are you going to choose who won that thing? And so I'm sure that's going to happen. I don't know if they do that tonight. I know there's going to be some rewards or something, so we're going to get into the message and get under the rest of the program. I know many of you are tired. You have labored this week, and I don't want to keep you, but I do want to give you what God's put on my heart tonight and preach the Word of God. I'll try not to be too long, but I did emphasize the try part, okay? I'm not going to make any promises, but I will try. You are on my heart and mind right now, I'll put it that way, okay? The fact that you're tired. All right, Revelation chapter 21. Please stand with me as we read the Word of God together. Revelation chapter 21. Now the preacher stepped out. There he comes. I was thinking, he didn't tell me what time to stop, but here he come back, so... Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." And I want to draw your attention back to verse number 5. I want to take our text from verse 5. We will look at some verses throughout this passage. But in verse number 5, John the Apostle said, "And he that sat on the throne said, upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Behold, I make all things new." And I want to speak to you tonight on this subject, Behold, I make all things new. I make all things new. Our Father, we love You and we thank You, dear God, for the grace of God. Thank You, dear God, for these dear people who are here. They're tired. God, help them to focus tonight. I know they've had a great day. It's been a fun day, Lord, but right now we need to be serious. We're around the Word of God. I believe the Holy Spirit of God is going to show up and speak to our hearts. And I believe, as the preacher has already said, there's probably others this morning, that right in the service, that You're going to touch and tell them You want them to be Your preacher. You want them to be Your missionary. You have a people for them. You have a place for them. And God, I pray that You would touch hearts tonight. I pray that You would encourage the people of God. Help us to go forward in a fresh way, in a great way for God. Lord, please hide me behind the cross of Calvary. I need You tonight. Holy Spirit of God, I want to be Your vessel. And I pray that You would speak through me, dear God. Speak directly to the hearts of Your people. And dear God, I pray that You would use me. God, I need You. And I pray for Your power. God, as Ezra cried out, the good hand of God was upon me. Lord, let me cry out tonight that the good hand of God is upon me. I need it, God. I desire it. I long for it. And I want it. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The Bible says, "And He that sat upon the throne, and by the way, that was God, said, he said, "Behold, I make all things new." Now, when Brother Lassiter asked me to preach the conference, I was real nervous, still kind of nervous, but I guess the nerves are getting a little better. Thank God for that. But when he asked me, it was no question. Praise God, I'd do it. I was excited to do it. I really was. And God began to tell me what to preach, and he gave me this sermon. And I knew that Sunday night's our victory night, and we're going to have victory, and we're going to rejoice in what God's doing throughout the day and throughout the conference and throughout our lives. But I got to thinking about victory. You know, there is coming a day of complete victory. I'm talking about a day when there'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more hurt. There'll be no more war. There'll be no more sorrow and things that depression and the different things we face on a daily basis. There'll be no more times of losing our jobs. There'll be no more times when you wake up and you're hurting and you got to go through another day, men, and support your families. There's coming a day when we will have complete victory. I'm longing for that day. There's coming a day when the Bible says God Himself will be with His people. Look in verse 3. "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." Hey, that's going to be the day of victory when God comes down and God is with His people and God wipes away the tears and God takes the sorrow away and God takes the pain away and God does a victory for us. That's going to be the day of victory. I'm longing for that day. Heaven, boy, what a... You know, I questioned this morning. I woke up and I was praying, "God, you sure you want me to preach this message?" I wasn't sure about this morning how that all worked out, and I had a message on hell, and I thought I'd preach tonight on heaven. And then I was wrestling with it all day. "God, do you want me to preach that or preach something else? Do you want me to preach on hell?" and so forth. And then Brother Tharp got up and he sung about heaven. And I thought, boy, God, you're right in this thing. You knew exactly what I need to preach. God's in this thing tonight. You see, there's coming a day, folks, when we're going to walk on streets of gold. You get a hold of that. There's going to be a day when we're going to stand face to face with Jesus. Take your Bibles and look, if you would, in John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Hey, Jesus just made His people a promise. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me? Hey, I'm going to prepare a mansion for you. I've got a place waiting for you. And where I'm going to be, you're going to be there also with me." Hey, that's something to get happy about, isn't it? That's something to make us all want to shout. That'd make a Baptist all want to shout. I hope it does. I hope that that'll get down in your soul tonight, that there is a heaven waiting the people of God. So there's going to be a day of victory. It's coming. I'm looking forward to that day. I can't wait for that day. Stand face to face with my Savior. But until then, it's hard for me to preach on victory tonight, because that's going to be the day of victory. Now, we can have little victories. I understand that. I lead somebody to Christ, that's a victory. People of God give to missions, that's a victory. That's not our day of victory, folks. Hey, we can have little victories, but the day of victory is coming when we stand face to face with our Savior. So until then, there are people that need Jesus. There are people that still need salvation. There are people that will die and go to the lake of fire. There are people that will burn forever and ever. And you and I have got to not quit, but go out and tell them. It's not time to rest, folks. Not time to rest. Can't slack off. You know, one of the easiest times to slack off is after a great victory. We think, boy, we did something for God. Praise God. Now let's take it easy next week. No. See, it's not time to slack off. It's time to go forward for God. It's time to let the victory we had today and this week compel us to go forward for God and do more for God this year and do more for God this month, because there are people that still need the Lord. You and I need to work now, for the night cometh when no man can work. There's coming a day, folks, and it's going to be a day of victory for us. But it's not going to be so much victory for those left behind. You and I need to do everything we can. Tell them about Jesus Christ. What are you willing to do, folks? What are you willing to do to get the victory to those that don't have it? I started to preach on hell today. I went home after I studied, and I think my boys were watching, and my wife was watching some, I don't know what it was, something about vacations that go wrong. You ever have one of those? And my mom had two kids in the car, and it rolled over, and it caught on fire. And it rolled over on the side, and the car was on fire. Neighbors all ran out there trying to pull those people out of the car. While the fire, I mean, it was just burning. It had on, caught it on camera. The car was engulfed in flames. They couldn't get the window open. They were taking everything they could trying to break that window to get it open. And finally, they got it open. Two firemen showed up. They were off duty for another fire department. They showed up, and one of them grabbed his bare hands and pulled that windshield back with his bare hands. No gloves, no nothing. His brother, the other guy with him was his brother, went into the car trying to pull the kids out of the car. The stuff on the roof was falling down, and his arms were just covered and burnt and so forth. And finally, I don't want to tell you the whole story, but they finally got the kids out of the car, saved them. They were heroes. What are we willing to do to get people out of hell? What are we willing to do, folks? Some of us in this room might need to be willing to go. There's a people. Brother Laster said this morning, there's a people. You know, there was a people for my family. The Croatian people, God had them prepared for my family. There's a people for you. Somebody in this room, there's a people God's prepared for you. What are you willing to do? Keep them out of the lake of fire. Are you willing to go? You willing to leave mom and dad, family, whoever, to go? Hey, there's a people, and you and I need to do all that we can to reach them. This is not the time to rest. This is not the time to slow down. We've got to go forward. We've got to do something for God. We can't quit. We can't go back. We've got to do something, because hell is still a reality. People are still going there, and you and I have got to do everything we can to keep people out of hell. We've got to be busy about the Father's business. And by the way, His business is still soul winning. His business is still church planting. His business is still starting local churches. Let's get busy about God's business. So real quick for our sermon tonight, I want to talk to you about some things from Revelation 21 about this subject. Behold, I make all things new. You know, as I read this, I got to thinking about it, and I got to thinking, because He will make all things new, that we need to love the new and not the old. Very simple. We need to love the new and not the old. See, God said, I'm going to one day give you a victory. One day I'm going to wipe away your tears. I'm going to take away your sorrow. I'm going to take away your pain. I'm going to take away all that heartache in your heart, all that depression you have. I'm going to take it away, and I'm going to make all things new for you. He said, all things will pass away. So if that's true, and it is, we ought to love the new and not the old. Too many of God's people are too in love with the new, with the old, and not the new. Hey, their hearts... affection is for the old and not the new. They're living for this present evil world instead of the world to come. Hey, what do you love tonight? What's in your heart tonight? What has your love, dear child of God? I think, because He's going to make all things new, that I ought to love the new and not the old. Look, if you would, in Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians 3 verse 1, the Bible says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. So the Bible clearly says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You know what He's saying? He's saying, set your love on the new and not the old. He said, love the new that's going to come and not the old. Hey, what do you think it'd do to your life if you would love the new that's going to come and not the old that's here, teenager? I'm talking about loving. That's what God's got for us. Hey, it'd change your life. You'd be like Isaiah, here am I, send me, I'll go. But you know, there's too many of God's people, they're too in love with this right here. This present evil world. Hey, they're so rooted into it, they're so engulfed in it, that if God came, they'd have to look at heaven, look at the earth and say, I don't know about that. I don't know if I'm ready to go or not. You mean leave my new Cadillac? You kidding? Can I bring it with me, Lord? No, can't take anything to heaven. Brother Laster told us that this morning, didn't he? Reminds me of a story I heard about this rich man. And he was on his deathbed. The doctors came to him, and the doctors told him, said, sir, you better get your house in order. You're going to die. And the rich man told his wife, he said, honey, you know, I'm going to die in about 2 weeks. And he said that, I'm going to be the first man to take my money to heaven with me. He said, I've got a plan. I've come up with a plan. I'm going to take all my money to heaven with me. And he said, this is what I want you to do. He said, I want you to take all my money, cash all my bonds, all that stuff in, bank it into cash. He said, I want you to put it in a box. Just get it, everything into a box, and I want you to put it up in the attic, right over my bed where I'm gonna be in my bed. I'm gonna die there. And he said, on my way up to heaven, I'm gonna grab that box and take it with me. So she thought to herself, you know, if anybody could pull this off, he can. I mean, he was pretty sly fox there. If anybody could do it, he could. And so sure enough, she did it. Just like he said, put that money in a box and put it up there in the attic for him. And a couple of weeks goes by, and just like the doctors predicted, he died in that bed. A couple of days go by after the funeral, and the suspense began to get to her. And she just had to know if he pulled it off or not. And so, you know, it was a kind of attic where you can walk up the stairs and open the door and go in. You know, those old kind of old-fashioned attics. And she got up to the top of the stairs, and she creaked that door open real slow, and she began to look around the corner, and sure enough, there was that box of money sitting on the table, just where she left it. And she looked to herself, and she said, you know, maybe I should have put it in the basement. So anyway, you know, you can't take it to heaven with you is what I'm trying to tell you. Nothing goes. Nothing. So since nothing goes and we can't take it with us, why don't we just love the new and not the old? Since the new is eternal and this is temporal, let's love the new. Since the new is forever and this is not, let's love the new. That just makes sense to me. Hey, if the new is from God and everything here is this present evil world, let's love the new. If the old is nothing but sorrow and pain and heartache, and there's none of that, then it makes sense to me, let's love the new. I mean, I'm not a rocket scientist by no means, but it makes sense to me, love the new and not the old. It seems a lot better to me. Where's our love at tonight? Love the new and not the old. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know how you can tell if you love the new, where you put your treasure at this morning? You know if you can tell you love the new, what you're doing for God when He's been dealing with you about that thing about preaching, about giving your life to God. That's how you can tell if you love the new or not, or what you do with that. So secondly, real quickly, not only because He will make all things new, we need to love the new and not the old, but here we go. Because He will make all things new, we need to live for the new and not the old. Hey, we need to live for the new. I want to live for the new and not the old. I want to give my life for Christ. I want my life to count for something. I want my life to make a difference. I want to live for that which I cannot lose and not for that which I will lose. I heard a story about a man by the name of William Borden. You might have heard the story. I don't know. Probably the missionaries have, but he lived about 100 years ago. He was the heir of Borden Milk. Y'all, everybody knows Borden, you know, the dairy, the cheese, all that stuff. His daddy was the owner of it, president, so forth. And in 1909, God began to deal with this young man, and he went off to Yale University, the Bible college back then, in Princeton Theological Seminary, sorry. And back then, it was a little bit different school. And his heart was so on fire for God that he wanted to be a missionary to China. Now, he was the heir of Born and Milk. His dad said, if you go through with this, you will never work in one of my companies again. You will lose your inheritance. Now, here's a man that was going to inherit what most people of the world are seeking after. He was going to inherit, it was going to be his. They were just going to give it to him. He was the heir. But he took a trip when he was in high school. His mom and dad sent him on a trip around the world, and he saw the people in China, and he thought, oh God, who's going to go tell them? Who's going to give the gospel to them? And he began to pray, and he went off to Bible college, and his dad said he would lose everything if he did. After his death, and Borden died before he ever made it to China, but they found his Bible. They found his Bible. And inside his Bible, there were three words written: no reserve, no retreat, and no regrets. Under no reserve, there was a date placing that statement, the very first statement, placing the note shortly after he renounced his fortune in favor of missions. He said, hey, I've got the riches of this world, but I'm going to live my life for the new, not the old. Hey, I've got everything everybody ever wants here, but I'm going to give it up because I can't lose what's there. Gave it all up. He said, no reserve. At a later point, he had written this statement, no retreat, dately shorted, shortly after his father told him he would never work in the company ever again. So first he says, no reserve. Then his dad said, you'll never work for me again. Borden said, no retreat. Not giving up what God's called me to. I'm not going to go back whether mom and dad's for it or not. God called me, so I'm going to do it. It's the only time I think teenage rebellion is a good thing. Mom and dad says, don't obey God, and you obey God. It's better to obey God rather than man. That's for free. No retreat. No reserve. And then, shortly before he died, he got a disease. He knew he was dying. Before he ever made it to China, he went to Egypt to learn the language and culture. He was going to go to China from there. While he was there, he caught a disease and died. And right before, on his deathbed, before he died, this is what he wrote: no regrets. No regrets. No reserve. No retreat. No regrets. Folks, it's worth it. Why could a young man give up everything that this world is seeking after? How is that even possible? I'll tell you why. He read in Revelation where God says, behold, I make all things new. And he said, I'm going to live for that's new and not that which is old that I can lose. He said, I might gain all the millions and riches, but I'll lose it one day. But if I live for that king up there, I'm going to get a reward that I cannot lose. It's worth it, folks. I'm going to live my life for Christ. I'm going to make it count for Christ. Bus workers, I know you get tired, and sometimes you probably want to quit the bus ministry so you can go home with your families, but listen to me. What you're doing is important to God. What you're doing is worth it. Don't quit. Don't go back. Because God will make all things new. I need to love the new and not the old, and I need to live for the new and not the old. You know, Abraham lived for the new and not the old. You remember what God did in Genesis chapter 12? He said, come on, Abraham. Where are we going? I'll show you later. Just come on. You know, some of you right now, you know God's touching your heart, but you're waiting for God to tell you where. That's not what Abraham did. He just come to Abraham and said, Abraham, come on. I want you to go with me. Where, God? Just come on. You know what Abraham did? Come on, Sarah. Let's go. We packed everything up, and he just followed. Just went. And then God showed him what he wanted him to do. God won't even take the first step of faith. You take that first step of faith this morning, God will show you what He wants you to do. God didn't call me to Croatia. He called me in the ministry, and then He called me into Croatia. He just wanted me to bow my heart before Him and say, I'll go. I want to live for the new and not the old. What you living for this morning, dear Christian? What are you living for? What do you love? What are you living for? I want to live for the new and not the old, because God said, behold, I make all things new. That sounds pretty good to me. That sounds pretty good to me. And then let me give you the last thing tonight. we'll be finished. Number three, because God will make all things new, we need to long for the new and not the old. We need to long for it. What'd you wake up with on your mind this morning? You remember that old song? I'm not going to sing it for you. Aren't you glad? I woke up with heaven on my mind. I don't know all the words, but I remember that part. What'd you wake up with on your mind this morning? What are you longing for? You longing for the new, or are you longing for the old? Hey, I want my heart to be longing tonight for that which I cannot lose. Are you longing for that day when you see your Savior face to face, the one who died for you? Hey, what are you longing for tonight? What's important to you? Never feel sorry for a missionary. Never. I tell people that all the time. Don't you feel sorry for a missionary. I've heard churches go, oh, you poor missionaries giving up all. Hey, we didn't give up anything for God. God gave everything up for us. He died on the cross for us. What else can I give Him but my life? What else do I have to give Him but my life? It's my reasonable service, the Bible says. Longing for the new, not the old. You know, most of God's people in America wake up, you know what they're longing for? Well, when it's football time, they're longing for their football team, what they're going to do that year. When it's hunting season, they long for that. You say you're preaching against football and hunting. No, I'm not. I'm just saying, what are you longing for? What's important to you? I'm not against you going hunting. I go play golf. I don't like going hunting. Oh, I just got on a golden calf, didn't I? I went hunting. My dad's a hunter. He loves hunting. But Brother Smith will tell you, my dad loves hunting. I went with him several times. I just couldn't understand getting up, 4 o'clock in the morning, go sit in a deer blind and freeze to death. I just didn't understand that. I'll wait till it's warm and go hit a little white ball all over a green course, But my point is not whether you like to hunt or not, or whether you like football or not. Hey, let me tell you something. There's probably some Dallas Cowboy fans in here. I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. I know that's probably sacrilegious saying that from the pulpit. I don't know. Let me give you something. Young people, you that like football, become a missionary. You can go to Croatia. They are on a different time zone. And you can watch the football game and not miss church. Doesn't interfere, whatever, with church. You can do it. Not feel guilty about it. You can get into the whole season, watch every game, playoffs, the whole thing, except the Super Bowl you can watch the day after. Just don't look at the score. Won't bother you a bit. Hey, that's not bad. Some of you are going to become a missionary right now just because of that. What are you longing for? What's on your heart? I read about these old-time preachers. One of my favorite things outside the Bible to read about, I read about old-time preachers. Missionaries. William Carey, David Livingston, Adoniram Judson. Well, I get so convicted when I read about them. It was a different time, folks, back then. I think I heard Brother Laster say he preached a sermon called Cupcake Christianity. Think that was right, if I remember what he said right. That's the time we're living in. I don't have it in front of me. I'm going to try to quote it right. But David Livingston, one time he was a missionary way back in the Congo and in the jungles of Africa, was mauled by a lion. His arm, he got his arm. He lost several wives in Africa, buried them. I told you this a little bit about him the other night. David Livingston, the Missionary Society wrote him. And they said, have you found a good road to where you're at? We got some men we want to send to you. This is what he replied. He said, if they will only come if there's a good road, I don't want them. I want men who will come if there's no road at all. That was a different time back then, wasn't it? We're all looking for an easy road. You know why? You know what made David Livingston different than what we are today? He longed for the new. It was in his heart day and night. That guy wasn't sitting around longing for television all this time. He was longing for the power of God. He was longing to do something for God. He was longing for heaven. That's why he could say, I don't want them. I want some of that. John Huss, I may have told you the other night, but as they were burning to the stake, they said, he'll give you one last time to recant. And he said, what I preach with my lips, I now seal with my blood. What could make a man say that? Longing for heaven. Longing for the power of God. Longing for God to do something. Longing to meet Jesus. You say, you do that? Now, I don't know if I do that or not. But I sure hope I could. I hope I can get to the place one day in my life that I could be able to say what I preach with my lips, I now seal with my blood. Longing. Behold, I make all things new. Let's love the new and not the old. Let's live for the new and not the old. And let's long for the new and not the old. I think if we would, this mission-hearted church, I told you that earlier, it's going to get on fire for God. You're going to turn Arlington upside down. Longing. That's what we need tonight. Every missionary, you know what we need? Longing. Longing for God's power. Longing to see God do something. Longing for the new, not the old. God will make all things new. The day of rest is not now, folks. We're going to get one. It's coming. Boy, it's going to be a good one, too. But for now, but until then, let's keep serving. Let's keep doing what God wants us to do. Let's keep obeying God. Let's give our hearts to the King of Kings. Long to see Him do something. Trinity Baptist Church. And then throughout the whole world, let's see God do something tonight. We stand to our feet, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Brother Laster, if you'll come. Pianist, if you'll come.